and welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast brought to you by EnergyNet in collaboration with the Electricity Hub. I am your host, Blessing Afolabi, and this episode is in anticipation of the Zimbabwe-Zambia Energy Project Summit, ZIMZAM, which will take place on November 26-28, 2025, at the Radisson Blue Livingstone Resort in Zambia. Today, we'll be sitting down with one of the speakers at the ZIMZAM conference to discuss From Policy to Project, the PDU playbook. As Zambia steps up efforts to convert national priorities into tangible outcomes, the conversation around effective governance, infrastructure delivery, and energy access has never been more urgent. The country is redefining how policy can translate into real-world impact, proactively tackling challenges and seizing opportunities to accelerate progress from ambitious solar targets to cross-ministerial coordination. In this episode, we are delighted to speak with Kuso Kambwambi, head of the Presidential Delivery Unit of Zambia. Under her leadership, the PDU is driving high-impact national initiatives, including expanding energy access, delivering 1,000 megawatts of solar power, and ensuring that critical infrastructure projects move decisively from planning to implementation. In this conversation, we'll explore a vision for transforming government delivery, how the PDU is addressing opportunities head-on, the strategies and innovations shaping its work, and what it takes to turn presidential priorities into tangible, measurable outcomes for citizens and the nation. Hello, Kuso. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Let's Talk Energy. We are delighted to have you.
Thank you so much, and hello to our listeners.
Thank you. Dear listeners, Kuso is one of the speakers at the ZIMZAM conference, and she'll be sharing insights, you know, from policy to projects from the Presidential Delivery Unit of Zambia. So we're delving right into the conversation now. As head of the PDU, right, you're responsible for turning presidential priorities into tangible outcomes. And I'm pretty sure that this is a lot of work. So would like to know what has been your most significant achievement so far.
Thank you so much. It's the first and it's the difficult question because I'll have to pick my favorite project, which will be difficult for me to do. But thank you for having me on the podcast once again, just to share some of the experiences that we have had as a country here in Zambia. And as you may be aware, as a PDU, we are not necessarily implementers of the projects. We are a government unit in the president's office that is mainly looking at presidential priorities. And our role is to catalyze the implementation of these priorities and, among other things, build capacity where it's required and just to foster a culture of accountability, a culture of results and urgency within the public sector. But also we've been responsible for ensuring that we create collaboration, we create collaborative teams between private sector and the public sector as well. So it's been an interesting journey. Of course, outside of energy, we are looking at other priorities such as health, such as digital inclusion, such as agriculture and livestock, enhancing our public services. So I'd say for me, particularly in this case, the energy reforms have been one of our best, you know, achievements so far. There are many others, but just to experience a period where we do things differently. Our country has in the past relied on hydropower, and we got hit with one of the worst droughts in more than 40 years. And of course, this now meant that we were not able to generate enough power for our people. And so we had to think outside of the box and particularly start to look at other innovative ways that we could generate power, looking at other renewables such as solar, and just looking at our entire policy environment in the energy sector and beginning to make those changes. So having been part of this journey where we now work as almost one task force, all the relevant stakeholders in the energy space work as a task force to implement, to design and implement these reforms has been quite interesting. And it's been an honor to be part of all the reforms that we've undertaken in the recent past, which include net metering, open access regime, which we're doing for the first time, the single licensing mechanism, and many other projects that we've been doing in terms of policy.
Thank you so much, Kuso, for outlining all of these projects that the PDU is doing. And I think one thing that stood out for me is the energy reforms that your unit is overseeing and is pushing. And also, you're moving even just beyond energy reforms, right? You're ensuring collaboration between the public and private sector. And also, you are moving beyond energy to health, to digital inclusion, agriculture and livestock, and other public services. So it's really interesting to hear the work that the PDU is doing. And like you said, you cannot exhaust all of the work, but then thank you for sharing. And I'm sure our listeners know more about the work you're doing now. And this will lead me to the next question for you. You spoke about, you know, the energy reforms that the PDU is driving. And Zambia has a goal to, you know, deliver about 1,000 megawatts of solar power by 2025. And this goal is very ambitious, but then it is not impossible. I know that there have been two major projects that came online in the past year, the 94 megawatt Itimpi solar station, as well as the 100 megawatt Chisamba solar plant. So can you let our listeners know some of the progress that has been made so far, and then what innovative delivery mechanisms are helping to keep this target on track?
Okay, thank you so much. So that was one of the targets that was first issued by the president earlier this year. And we immediately got to work. And yes, the target was to get to 1,000 megawatts by December 2025. So far, we are on track to deliver at least 550 megawatts of that. We still have a number of projects that are still under construction, those that are under procurement, and a few others that are still pending. As you may understand, it's not the easiest thing to get some of these projects over the line. Just to ensure that these projects, first of all, get to financial close is the first hurdle, making sure that they have all the documentation that's required, them getting the PPA, to them identifying the land and having that land cleared, and for them to finally break ground and get to construction and to get to complete that construction takes a little bit of time. And of course, because these projects are not being done by ourselves as government, it becomes difficult to be in full control of how the project is developing. But what we ensure is that we are available for all private sector institutions that are developing these projects, including our own national utility company that also has some projects. We're available, we are on hand to unblock any challenges that they have, to help them get to financial close where they need support, and just to make sure that the licensing and all these other things that are in government's control are not taking longer than necessary. So yes, the target is still active. Ideally, we should be expecting way more than 1,000 once all these solar projects are done by next year. But just to say that, of course, a few deadlines have shifted based on the fact that some of what is happening is really not in our control. It's been encouraging to see the number of projects that are coming online and mainly being driven by private sector. And you will see that as we meet next week at the forum, there are a few projects that we would like to showcase, especially one of the projects that's locally owned project, has a local PPA from our national utility company, has managed to get local financing from our local banks and our local pension funds. And so for us, this is just a story that demonstrates that government is really committed to supporting private sector in being a partner in development of more power projects and as well as just general energy security for the country.
Thank you so much, Kuso. It's great to know that the government of Zambia is actually pushing for enabling environment for the private sector to play. And then I think it's very interesting to see that this 1,000 megawatts goal of solar in Zambia is mainly driven by the private sector. I think that's really important. The conversations that have been ongoing recently has been that, oh, the government does not have like the capacity to do most of these projects alone or to propel finance, but they can provide that, you know, enabling environment to ensure that private sector is involved and to ensure that energy access is improved across board. Thank you so much. And speaking about this involvement of the private sector, and then earlier, my first question for you, you spoke about collaboration, right? That you're propelling and enhancing collaboration between the public and private sector. So can you share with us some examples of partnerships, right? Or innovative financing mechanisms that have helped to fast track on this high impact projects?
So thank you very much. Just to mention that the nature of the projects that we have, of course, are projects by our national power utility company, projects where our national utility partners with private sector and other institutions such as banks and other financial institutions. We also have projects where we are supported by development partners such as the World Bank and many other development partners. So increasingly, we are seeing that there are different, you know, stakeholders and players that are getting involved
involved in the energy story. Recently, we've also seen that industry is also coming to the fore. We have a fertilizer company, for example, that also suffered the effects of climate change and effects of the drought because it affected business for them. And so they decided to invest in their own energy plant, and they're even able to feed the grid with the excess that they don't need. So we have mining companies coming on board and doing the same, where they build their own plant and use part of the power for their own operations. We have a mine down in Mumbwa that has recently done that. And then they're able to also feed the excess back onto the grid. And as you know, Zambia is open for business. Our president, being our chief marketing officer, has been including investment in energy in most of his conversations in bilateral meetings, multilateral meetings. So increasingly, we are seeing that a lot of investment is coming online from private sector, from development partners. So it's no longer just about traditionally energy companies participating in energy security, but really just a more diverse group of players that are coming on board. And so, of course, that means that we then need to now look at issues of financing as we are supporting these projects. Much as they do have funders, primary lenders, they still want to get some kind of guarantee, which we're not able to provide as a country right now, because, of course, the balance sheet of our national utility companies, ESCO, is not able to support such guarantees. So the issue becomes now, how do you de-risk some of these projects, and what type of innovative models can we come up with? So there have been some projects where blended finance has been used. We are seeing more projects coming on by way of green bonds.
And also, in addition, Blessing, because of our reforms, which include open access, we've been able to partner some of the project developers with our IPPs, who are independent power producers, that are able to give them a power purchase agreement. So that enables them to close some of these transactions with their lenders without having to rely on ZESCO PPA. So basically, it's all these blended financing, mixing concessional financing with commercial financing. It's bringing parties, stakeholders together. It's having a conversation with some lenders in one area and matching them, you know, with a project that is already active that just requires funding. So we've had to do a lot of innovative things just to make this whole dream possible. And so far, we do have some results. The results are showing we've got independent power producers that are operating and trading. We've got a lot of local companies participating in developing power projects. So basically, yes, as a result of our energy reforms, we've been able to see some results, and we continue to push for more.
Kudos to the PDU and also the government of Zambia for pushing energy reforms. And you're seeing the result, right, which is going to trickle down to the aspect of the economy as well. And interesting to hear the kind of innovative financing mechanisms you mentioned, like the green bonds, the blended finance, you know, concessional, also conventional financing. And great work you're doing, Chris. So well done to you and your team. And still speaking about energy reforms, right, because I know that for Zambia, like, expanding energy access remains a national priority. And would like to know, I'm sure our audience will also like to know, how the government of Zambia is ensuring that this energy access project does not remain just in the urban areas alone, but it gets to the rural communities and the underserved areas. Because I know that that's part of your plans, especially with the 1,000 megawatts of solar power. So how is the government ensuring that rural communities and underserved areas benefit directly from this ongoing power project?
Okay, thank you very much. Just to share a few statistics on our current electricity access as a country, I think we're sitting at about 47.8% in 2022. And we are currently sitting national average at about 53.3% in 2024, yet to get the current figure for 2025. But as you may understand, this increase could have been way bigger had we not faced the drought. Remember that we do rely majorly on hydro generation. So this would be broken down into an increase of about 8% to 34% when we talk about rural access. And then for urban access, we've moved up from 75% to 83% in 2024. So giving us those national averages that I've just spoken about. So sitting at 34% rural access from 8% just in 2022 is a major achievement for us. And how have we been able to do this? So this really has been as a result of what we are calling a solar explosion. So solarization, in terms of mini energy plants has continued to take place. And there are many projects that we have under our rural electrification program where we support off-grid solutions for the rural population. And we also have a lot of private sector currently also developing projects. And that's why we've been able to move significantly even in light of the drought. So I would list a few projects for you if we had time. But basically, it's been about having an intentional plan, which is our rural electrification plan, to say we want to ensure that the rural areas are not left behind. We are also doing a lot of rooftop solar. I was encouraged recently, took a drive around in the rural areas, and I was encouraged to see solar panels being used for irrigation, for example. So we're also trying to make sure that all the other national projects that we are running somehow include a component of solarization. We do have a local program called the CDF, which is the Constituency Development Fund, which is really decentralization of funds for development, where you give the money to the people, allow them to choose the projects of their choice, and allow them to develop these projects according to the desires of the community. So we found there that where they have, for example, a school project to build classrooms or to build a clinic or to build a maternity wing or whatever infrastructure that it is that they're doing, they're also including a component of solar, where they ensure that they have solar panels, they have some kind of electrification to that project. So as opposed to in the past where we just built these programs in the rural areas with or without electricity, they began to operate. Now we are encouraging these local projects to also include a component of solar. So we are hoping that once we are out of the woods with our drought situation, because much as the rainfall pattern has normalized now, we are still feeling the effects of the drought. It's still going to take a lot for us to fill up our basins and our water reservoirs. As we are going through this area of recovery and looking ahead at building resilience, we hope to see more projects coming on board, especially with the major solar projects that are currently being done, because most of these projects are not based only in the urban areas. They're also based in the rural areas. So it's all about proximity to the grid. So some of them are based in the rural areas as long as they are close to the grid. But even for the off-grid solutions, we continue to expand the ideas and the initiatives, which some of them are still working on them. But so far, what is already on track on the ground is quite impressive.
Thank you so much, Kuso. One thing I've picked up from this conversation is the solar explosion. I think that really drew me when you mentioned the solar explosion. And I think it's really an explosion because 1,000 megawatts of solar added to improve energy access in the country, it's really massive. And we're really looking forward to the explosion that is going to cause across all the sectors of the economy, because when energy access is improved, every other sector is going to, you know, be improved as well. Thank you. It's been an insightful conversation so far. And I would just like to stress that you spoke about the drought that happened and that is really affecting the pace of energy in the country, especially as Zambia relies majorly on hydropower, right? And while this is a challenge in the energy access as well as infrastructure, it also poses like opportunities, right, for the sector. So can you just share how the PDU is proactively identifying, you know, and addressing these opportunities that it presents head on in order to accelerate impact?
Okay. So first of all, when we step into an environment as the PDU, we like to do some sort of mapping to understand what challenges are prevailing in that particular environment. And we do what we call a roadmap, which is really a plan of action that where we bring all the stakeholders together, we do it with them, not for them. And we co-create the solutions together. And then after that, we ensure that whatever plan of action has been set, we have what we call routines, which is a cadence of delivery where we follow up weekly, daily, monthly on all the targets that have been agreed upon. We also have an escalation mechanism, which we call delivery collision, where there are bottlenecks. We put all the decision makers in one room, whether it's the Secretary to Cabinet, Secretary to Treasury, Attorney General. If it's something to do with licensing, we'll bring the authority responsible on board and we make sure that we unlock it. And of course, we have the highest level, which is what we call the presidential stocktake, where we go back and report to the president on progress and challenges on whatever it is that we're facing in execution. So that is the system that we use for all other interventions. But I think energy is very key at the moment. If you speak to my president, he'll tell you we have three targets: energy, energy, and energy. Because for us, energy is not just a sector. We feel that energy is the backbone of delivery. So when we have power and we get power right, then everything else will accelerate and everything else will work. So we are just trying to prove that even in the face of climate change, resilience should no longer be an aspiration for Africa. Resilience building has to be a must for all of us. So we just have to make sure that we have the right reforms. We have to work with the data. We have to make sure that we're using data for our decisions so that when we do finally take that action, it's precise, it will deliver, and we'll stay powering every home, every business, and every person in the country. Because for now, we believe that that's the most important thing that the citizens are looking out for. We are looking to, you know, build an energy sufficient country, and we want energy to be reliable, to be available, to be affordable for our people, you know, and while still encouraging ourselves to be, you know, a clean power hub for the region.
Thank you so much, Kuso, for this very insightful conversation so far. I am going to be putting this out there for our audience so they can digest it more. Your final statement from this last question was so powerful, stating that energy is the backbone of delivering accelerated progress. Very important. Once energy is improved, every other aspect of the economy will also improve. And resilience building has to be a must. Like you said, yes, we need to build resilience, and we need to also use data for decision making, which is important to help us to make better decisions going forward. And very interesting to also know that Zambia is looking at creating an energy sufficient economy and providing, you know, accessible, available, affordable, and reliable electricity to all of its citizens. Thank you again, Kuso, for this conversation. But before I let you go, I would like you to give your final word or words to our audience before we close out this episode today.
Well, thank you, Blessing. And I just wanted to say thank you to you for creating this platform. I believe that a problem shared is already a problem solved. We are happy to keep having these conversations and hence our participation in the various fora that are happening around the region in looking for solutions for Africa. So I think my final words would be that Africa must work together to make sure that we do it for ourselves. We create the financing relationships that we can create. We de-risk our own projects, and we just see how we can take the conversation forward in terms of inter-trade and inter-investment within the region. Thank you.
Thank you again, Kuso. Dear listeners, I'm leaving you with a final word today. I believe this conversation has been so insightful. And thank you again to our dearest speaker, Kuso. This episode, again, is in anticipation of the Zimzam Conference happening on November 26th to 28th at the Livingstone Resort, Radisson Blue in Zambia. So please, if you are still contemplating, I hope you're getting ready to attend the event to get more insights into conversations like this. I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed this episode. I personally have learned a lot. It's been enlightening seeing and hearing what the government of Zambia is doing to ensure energy access across board. Thank you so much again, Kuso, and thank you to our dear listeners for tuning into this episode. Still, we'll bring you another episode of Let's Talk Energy. I remain your host, Blessing Afolabi. Please ensure to follow us on all our social media platforms and our website, both the Electricity Hub and EnergyNet. Thank you again and enjoy the rest of your day.